Hey, I really appreciate you spending some time with us, Devin. I personally remember very early on finding specifically your YouTube channel and some of the really cool things that you were doing 4 or maybe 5 years ago now. I think it was one of the most complete and thorough SolidWorks design videos that I had seen as you were doing the BMW replacement logo for your car. Do you want to take a second just to introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name's Devin Montes. I'm an artist, designer, and content creator. I focus mainly on 3D printing, more specifically on FDM printing and just bringing design and technology to the masses. So I try to look at it from the base level, like what's the easiest way to get into 3D printing and how can people get empowered to design the world around them?
Yeah, I think the word empowerment is something that you and your brand, your company, your YouTube channel certainly like are pushing. Like, hey, I can do this. Everyone can do this. Yet at the same time, I think you have a very well-polished background and that you've got the chops and capabilities certainly to exceed anybody else who attempts to keep up with you. But what's your background? How'd you get into 3D printing? I know you have some design experience. How'd you find 3D printing?
Yeah, I won't deny that I've had a pretty good setup in terms of what led me to this point, because since I was young, you know, my dad was an engineer. My mom was a kindergarten teacher, okay. So she was an educator. And I was raised with a really artistic background, so I was always into drawing from the beginning. I've got a drawing right above me that's from when I was like 5 years old. Beautiful turkey. And
awesome.
So I went through arts high school. I got the foundation there for like composition and visual design. From there, I went to my local community college and I went into a little design program there. Started leaning more towards product design and learning that basically every object around you has a designer behind it. That got me really excited. I always wanted to be an inventor, but it seemed like one of those fake jobs that no one actually does. And when I learned about product design, I was like, wait a minute, there's actually a lot of people doing this kind of stuff. So yeah, from there, I got into Art Center, which is one of the most prestigious product design schools in the country. And I got a really strong foundational education there in the kind of traditional product design sense. But right out of college, or even as I was finishing up, I became more engrossed in 3D printing specifically. You know, in school, it was a tool to prototype for a different end product. I saw the potential in the technology itself, and like, this can make actual things that you can actually use. The price of the printers are coming down. I saw that it could become a really powerful tool for not just people who are designers by trade, but for anyone to kind of start customizing their environment.
Yeah, end-use products, prototypes, all it kind of runs the gamut. And I think you had the senses early on that this tool that was used in a narrow scope had a broader sense coming, both increased awareness in price reduction and increased capability in terms of what people could do with it and how things, two printed things, could fit together. What are some of the early projects, I guess, you know, to start off with, what are some of the things out there that people may know make anything from in terms of things you've designed that have gone viral or semi-viral?
Yeah, sure. I've done a lot of different random things. I set up my channel from the beginning where it was super open-ended, so I can really do anything. So, I started, my first viral video was just reverse engineering a little illusion that was a illusion of the year in 2015 or 16, this ambiguous cylinder, just a really wacky little shape that looks like a rectangle or a circle, depending on how you look at it. Super straightforward, but it was blowing the minds of the internet. And the day that it was making its rounds, I immediately started figuring out how it was done and explained that in a really like lazy, tired video at 2 a.m. Didn't expect anything from it, but of course that's the one that gets most attention and basically rocketed my channel so that I could start focusing on it more. And
for that video, you had hustle on your side of being Johnny on the spot of next day you produce something over the middle of the night that was kind of tagging along.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, the really fast moving internet, you gotta stay on top of things. What else have I done, though? I mean, one of my favorite underrated projects that I brought to the Matter Hackers space was my human Bop-It costume. So,
oh my God, yes, that's an amazing project and worth looking up. You're here. You're local to us in Southern California. So, Devin, you showed up to a, I believe it was a Halloween party, and it demonstrated your shamelessness, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I basically took a Bop It Extreme, which hopefully most people out there know what this super fun game was. Game from my childhood. I literally had the one that I've had since I was a kid. It was in the attic, and I decided to tear it apart, size it up, and attach it to all my limbs while I was wearing a skin suit. Hard to really describe, but that's the kind of crazy stuff I do, which has no real like functional use, I guess, but it was just a way to capture people's attention and show that you can make anything with 3D printing. So even though I really want people to understand that 3D printing can be very useful and like actually improve their lives, I also do silly things like that because that's how you get attention on the internet. And I think it still somehow serves the purpose of showing just how open the possibilities are with 3D printing.
Yeah, whenever I think of individuals, companies, brands out there that are doing something to demonstrate how 3D printing can be used, it expands the market. You know, you found maybe some new kid, some new fifth grader that said, hey, if that guy can do it, I can do it. He's using a 3D printer. He's got a garage full of them. And, you know, that inspires one more person to do it. It broadens the net of who's understanding that additive and digital manufacturing can fit with whatever they're trying to do. And I always think of myself as a young engineer. If I had 3D printing at my disposal through grade school, man.
Gosh, like yeah. It would have been wild.
Blows my mind today. Yeah.
But we're already pretty blessed, I think, to be here at this stage where a lot of things are changing. I feel very lucky that I got in early on. It's getting harder and harder to be seen, I guess. But yeah, in terms of like, especially bringing younger people into 3D printing, another thing that gained a lot of popularity on my channel was 3D pen videos, which is kind of like a very rudimentary 3D printer where your arm acts as the computer, basically guiding the filament, and super challenging, but also a really great way to get people right into the technology with a pretty low barrier to entry.
Yeah, I think that demonstrates your ability to understand, like, I haven't seen very many like impressive 3D printed pen things. And certainly some of the things that you've done have shown the real capabilities of once you can, like you said, your body, your arm is working as the mechatronic system that is the 3D printer. Mm-hmm. But if you understand like what a 3D printing pen can do in that third dimension, you can really open up what's possible. And one of the tricks you did early on was 3D printing around a balloon and then popping the balloon on the inside, right?
Yeah.
That made me like really understand conceptually what could be done.
Yeah. And even that, you know, that comes, that's inspired by my childhood, making pinatas at home with paper mache around balloons. So definitely just the artistic background helped me out a lot.
How do you balance the things that you're doing in, you know, I know you have some of your designs are, I think you have a really great grasp of the internet, of at least attempts of how to make things go viral. Some of them are meant to really inspire an audience. And then I know you have some of it where you're like a product designer trying to make products. How do you balance those three things? Because I think you do a great job there.
Oh, thanks. Honestly, my number one goal with the channel is to keep myself excited and interested about it, because that's how it translates to the audience. So if I have a personal need for something, I'm going to take the time to make that and then like show it off. I'm lucky that I have an audience that seems to be on the same wavelength as me. If I'm enjoying something, they tend to like it as well. And one thing I've realized is like a lot of my projects wouldn't really apply to people specifically where they would be doing my exact project. And I guess this comes back to like the human Bop It. It's just about conveying the excitement and the fact that I know that I can achieve whatever weird project I set my mind to.
Yeah, I think the fact that you're working on projects that inspire you the most, that's always in my experience, and I think a lot of people's experiences. If you try to force something that you're not interested in, then it's going to be homework. And if you're doing something that you're inspired with, then it's passionate. And I even get, you know, I think a lot of people ask, and it'll be worth asking you this question. How do you get started in 3D design? You know, because I think you're a great designer and you're really good at showing the process. At least for me, I always say like, give yourself something that you really want, understand the tool to get you there. And there's a million ways to skin that cat of designing in three dimensions, but it's going to be homework and like a little task, unless it's the widget that you need to hold your watch on your nightstand to power it, that adapts to your light that you've already got. Like unless it's that, it's tough to train yourself in CAD otherwise.
Yeah, totally. But once you've done one project like that where you make something hyper-specific to yourself and you get the reward, I think you realize that it's worth the work that goes into it.
How did you get started in CAD design? Because as I said, the first video that I saw, and you know, I think you only had something like 300 subscribers early on in that point, but was like a really great long-form demonstration of you crashing around SolidWorks.
Yeah, so my entry to 3D design is another mishmash of a lot of different approaches, because I've always been very much of a self-taught person. You know, Photoshop, like a lot of people, I taught myself entirely from scratch, you know, starting with like a Photoshop Elements free copy that came with my computer back in the day.
Sure, yep.
And that also helped a lot with 3D design. I don't know, I have some kind of an intuition going through programs, or like, oh, I got to click here or there. Of course, I also have that foundational like product design background. So SolidWorks was definitely something I learned in college. They had us doing really intense, elaborate projects for that. But before that, I was using SketchUp and any free programs I could use, basically.
Did you muscle through Blender?
Blender's one that I actually discovered later than some of the other programs. So I was using Rhino and SketchUp and Blender. Yeah, I kind of just started trying to play around with that in the last year or two, but now it's such a different beast compared to the parametric software that I'm used to. Super powerful. I absolutely need to.
It's got a lot of capabilities. That's for sure. If somebody wanted to get started today, what do you recommend? What's the first place to get started for someone who wants to sort of catch up and use a 3D printer and design their own things?
I mean, everyone has their own learning style, but when you're designing for 3D printing specifically, well, again, it also even depends if you're trying to do a D&D miniatures or if you want to build functional parts like I do. The things I design, I would absolutely recommend getting into a CAD software, whether it's the personal license of Fusion 360, or if you want to go totally open source, you can try FreeCAD or SCAD. If you're a little more of programming minded, I can't do any of the text-based stuff, but some people just blow it out of water.
Impossible for me to understand OpenSCAD.
Right. It's pretty incredible what some people can do. I'm all visual, and I've been learning through Fusion 360, started in SolidWorks, but they're basically interchangeable. But, you know, YouTube is honestly where I've learned a lot of things. I started out just trying to model, you know, my computer mouse, my speakers, this or that that's around me. That's a really good way to start out, because you have a very clear end goal of what it should look like. And from there, you kind of need to learn the terminology. So maybe just watch some videos of people designing things. Even if you can't follow along, you start learning, oh, he's saying this rounded corner here, that's a fillet, or this or that, that's an extrusion. And once you know that basic terminology, you get to a point where you can start Googling things more easily and figuring out what you need to know. And yeah, there's pretty much always an answer on a forum or, you know, make friends on a Discord group or on a subreddit.
Yeah. Once you learn those terms, it doesn't matter what program you're using. At least you know now what button to search for.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, once you have even with a very basic foundation, you can learn like 5 different functions in Fusion. And with that, you can do just about anything. You might not be able to make things look as beautiful as you want them to, but if you can extrude and revolve, that's almost all you need. So, I mean, I guess I could promote my own little playlist. I made a series called How to Make Anything. There's a playlist on my channel, which is Make Anything on YouTube. And I've got 4 or 5 videos where I go through those basic commands and I try to run through it, you know, talk about every little thing I'm doing, and you can follow along and build a fun little game or some illusions that I designed. You know, I tried to come up with some fun projects that don't take a crazy mastery of the program just yet.
Yeah, I would double down on that. I think you do some of the best, as I've said, sort of instructional and guidance and inspirational content that someone who's just learning or whether they're pretty mature maybe, or they've gotten good at Tinkercad maybe, the next level up.
That's another one I forgot to mention. Tinkercad is a great entry to CAD for sure.
That's the first Lego blocks of how to mash things together and sort of kit bash your way into making whatever you want. But I think your channel specifically would be a great playlist to as a resource for someone looking for whether it's starting or leveling up in that space. In terms of 3D printing, just to wrap off some of the basics, like what's your go-to material and why?
I'm pretty old-fashioned. I like PLA because it gets the job done most of the time. It's corn-based, which is awesome. I've been using it for so long that I found myself finding tricks and tips to make it work for just about anything, unless there's like a clear, like, oh, this is going to be outdoors all the time, or it's going to be in my hot car. And it'll get soft as PLA. As long as it's not one of those few constraints, I pretty much find myself working with PLA.
I think it's such a normal material these days that people, everybody, myself included, probably yourself, forget how easy and simple. And it's got certain ailments, as you said, that you got to design around if it's going to be in a high heat environment. But otherwise, a really strong material. Like it's tough. Yeah. Can be brittle in some senses, but if you design it, you know, with the material in mind, it can be really strong. I think a lot of the kind of things like the tippy tree or some of the kids' toys that you've sort of made, they're all PLA based because they can hold up to it, right?
For sure, yeah. It's very hard material. Like you can drop things and they're usually fine. I appreciate that, and the fact that it's just works so well with the process of 3D printing. You know, it melts at a nice temperature. A lot of people now are switching to PETG, which has a lot of nice benefits as well. The chemical resistance and it becomes very hard as well. Although I think it's a little harder on some printers if the printer isn't comfortable going up to 250 plus degrees. Yeah. I try to look at things from the perspective of someone who's still pretty new to 3D printing. Like I'm not trying to use the most advanced filaments and the most advanced printers. I do that from time to time because it's very interesting to show people. But in general, when I try to do projects to inspire people, I want it to be accessible in that sense where it's not like, oh, I don't need a printer that can handle 10,000 degrees or whatever.
Yeah. So the next kind of most common question would be like when you consider a new machine, what are you looking for and why do you choose, the pads that you do? I know you have an array of machines at your disposal, certainly at this point, but like guidance for other people.
Yeah, it's totally fine to start with a cheap kit printer. In fact, that's a great way to learn a lot. There's going to be time spent figuring out things that go wrong, but that's exactly how you kind of learn along the way and get to a point where eventually you'll be able to figure out what's happening most of the time. I definitely still run into things, but...
Fix the ailments that present themselves.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I'm still a fan of like Creality CR10. It's several years old by now, but still a totally solid machine.
A robust platform, at least to start with, and very upgradable. You know, there's a lot of accessories that you can... As a user learns their way through the path, they can upgrade the extrusion systems and some of the linear systems for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's also really nice. Just a lot of printers ended up looking the same now, but it's a good thing in terms of upgrades and being able to slap things on there.
Where do you find yourself being inspired these days? Like what projects are you seeing that other people doing that turn into projects that you think are, you know, heroes on your channel?
That's a good question. I mean, I try very hard to actually diversify my inspiration in the sense that I'm not only like following 3D printing community stuff. Even before I got the laser cutter, I was looking at laser cut projects and I wonder if there's like cool ways to adapt them or evolve them and bring them into 3D printing. Nature, it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's always been one of my biggest inspirations because things have been, through time, they get designed basically to serve functions really well and in really creative ways. So biomimicry is fun. And, but yeah, of course, I'm also following all the big YouTube channels, you know, Maker's Muse. Him and I have a lot in common. Billy Rubin is up and coming on her YouTube channel, but she's been in the 3D printing community for a long time. Yep. And we've also come up with a lot of similar ideas and feed off of each other in that way. Yeah, 3D printing community is so cool because a lot of people came in from different backgrounds. We have just like straight up illustrators. there's mechanical engineers. I'm a product designer by trade. And then like all those skills kind of get intermingled and you learn from each other mm-hmm. in ways that I don't think would happen anywhere else. And we're all very friendly, I mean, too.
Yeah, you name a couple good friends of Matter Hackers, mine and of Matter Hackers in general. And yeah, everyone comes from different backgrounds and brings their own sort of skills, and everybody borrows that and just makes everything better. It's sort of the, even 3D printing on its own, you know, if you go back to 2010, was built on this open source. Hey, the patents ran out, open source. We're going to build a community around this where, you know, yeah, frankly, engineers were and hobbyists were building them in their garage. Turning, you know, that's the Matter Hackers is a result of this, turning our hobbies into our real full-time jobs and stuff. But the community comes together in such an inspiring and broad way. And again, you're a big part of that, I think. And you come to the table with this like crazy artistic background with like great design chops and willingness. When you're talking about laser cutting, you're talking about not about additive manufacturing, but still digital manufacturing, you know, like that's mm-hmm. that's still a process where it's highly integrated, that you start at the computer rather than a, you know, chisel and a block of wood, which is a new way to think about things.
Right. I have to remind myself that 3D printing is just a tool to get things done, but it is so powerful that 99% of the time I find myself relying on 3D mm-hmm. printing. That in the same way, that's why it covers so many different disciplines and fields, because it ends up being useful in just about anything. It's one of the fastest ways to iterate and prototype. So whatever industry someone might be interested in, 3D printing probably has a place in that industry.
One thing that comes to mind is, you know, there's this aspiration that, you know, 3D printers will be the next microwave, and you'll find it in every house. And mm-hmm. I think we're a ways away from that. Certainly, I think we can get there. But I think the best way for me to understand it and describe it to someone who might not be aware of 3D printers is that it is another tool. It's a word that we find ourselves using a lot, right? Like, I've got a table saw at home. I got a bandsaw. I've got, I actually have like a CNC mill, and I got a 3D printer. And those mm-hmm. are all tools when I need to go make something that I can go to. But where do you think we are, because you have many 3D printers at your disposal in your mm-hmm. garage, and I think that's inspiring. Where are we in that evolution? Like, it is a tool, but who's it ready for?
Like I said, I got into 3D printing like 5 years ago, a little earlier than I got my own, but back then they were maybe 4 or 5 times more expensive at the base level. So the price is definitely coming down. The accessibility is coming in that way. They're definitely still not at the point where it's like a microwave, you know, click the popcorn button and you'll get popcorn. there's still fiddling. It's still like a maker thing. But I remember like a few years ago, people started talking about like FedEx or Kinko's getting 3D printers. And that might be mm-hmm. a way to transition into people getting closer and closer to the technology, where you would say, oh, I can go online and find the part I need and then just go pick it up down the street. But I mean, 3D printing is improving. I do believe it will get to the point where just about anyone can buy a printer, pop in a spool and say, this is what I need, and not necessarily have all of the knowledge we've spent years and years gaining.
Yes. I call them mini PhD degrees every day. When you gotta, you know, fix a flooded hot end, or, you know, you end up with spaghetti. You gotta get your master's or your PhD degree in how to solve that problem incrementally along the way. Mm. What are you working on now? What's next for you?
So lately I've been doing a lot of puzzles and games. You mentioned Tippy Tree, which is kind of my latest big game that I put out. And it's basically just a classic tabletop game. And in a lot of ways, it's very simple and like an ode to to Jenga and old games like that. But it also relies on 3D printing, like that really mm-hmm. enabled it to be done as well as it has been done. And that's me also kind of starting to look into selling final finished products as files that people can print themselves and have like real robust things yep. that would be just as good or better than something they could have bought at a store. So I've been playing around with different modes of distribution. You know, for a long time I was giving away files for free and making ad revenue through my mini mm-hmm. factory's studios program. And nowadays people are starting to respect well-designed objects and they're willing to pay for them, especially now that
certainly.
There are millions of files out there now, so the ones that are really good do stand out, and people value that. So yeah, I'm kind of playing around and just I'm in an inventive mode right now where I'm trying out a lot of different games and stuff. Meanwhile, you know, always just working on content for my channel as well.
Yeah,
I've got some recycling projects coming up right now.
Oh, very cool.
You know, people see plastic and 3D printing and plastic, and plastic has a really bad reputation to it. But 3D printing actually can do a lot for sustainability, I feel like. Even just what we're talking about, being able to print something at home, localized manufacture, distributing things across the world is a huge part of the carbon footprint that products create, yep. Like shipping, basically just tankers going across the ocean. I do want to help change the stigma with 3D printing and show the value of how it can actually be very beneficial. So the project I'm doing right now, I don't know how much I want to give away, but it's related to recycling, but not specifically like recycling 3D prints or gotcha. Anything. There's people working on that, but how to enable us to be sustainable in other areas. Like I said, 3D printing can reach a lot of different fields. So this is unrelated to 3D printing, but I'm going to use it to make tools that help me.
Nice. Just generally being better to our Earth.
Yes. I know that was very vague, nice. But you'll see soon enough.
Cool. Well, where can people find you, learn more about yourself?
Sure. I have my website, makeanything.design, and that'll link to my YouTube video where I'm always trying to make new and exciting content. I have a shop where I sell some of my limited edition prints and some other information I want to share, but it's basically all there, makeanything.design. And
cool.
Yeah, you'll never know what you'll get from me, so just keep an eye out.
Well, I think, as I said, I think you're an inspiration to the community. You help to broaden the community. You bring some really great skills to the table in design and inspiration. And I think just like a level up bar of artistry meets everything you print is a functional part, which is really cool. And that's, I think, where the industry is headed and where new inspirations will be found. So thanks for leading the charge there, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And I mean, likewise, Matter Hackers is definitely, I feel like you guys are doing it right and you're pushing 3D printing in a good direction and showing how awesome this community can be.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Well, thanks for your time, Devin.
Absolutely. It's always great to talk.
You have a good afternoon. We'll catch up soon.
Definitely.